Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, joined today by Chris Chastain. As with really any piece of media you're going to ingest over the next couple of days, we start off by saying our thoughts and prayers are with the Bryant family. Of course, today marks the loss, the tragic loss, really, of Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna. So that is super sad. It kind of, not going to lie, put a damper on what this was going to be. It was going to be kind of a fun-filled, let's pretend the Pro Bowl is important type show. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I've really committed to this bit that the Pro Bowl is this great game that everyone should have respect for. You can't even see, but Chris can attest, I got dressed up for the Pro Bowl today.
Yes, he did.
I'm wearing a tie. It was going to be a great bit, but of course, after the tragedy that has befallen the sports world today, that certainly cannot be the tone of this podcast. So it's a more kind of sober podcast today than I thought it would end up being. But I didn't really know how else to start it. Chris, what are some of your thoughts on what's happening?
Well, let me jump in. First, let me say that was probably our quickest start we've ever had to a podcast. But secondly, on a pretty sad note, it was – I feel bad for everybody in the sports community or anybody that admired Kobe Bryant. It's just a sad day. And watching Twitter, watching all the players react to it, makes it even harder to watch. I mean, harder to, I guess, digest, whatever you want to call it. That's really my main thoughts on it. I'll go ahead and say it. I was never really a Kobe fan, so to speak, but I didn't really start paying attention to any basketball until the last two or three years of his career. So I didn't grow into watching basketball during his generation, if you know what I mean. So that would be the main reason. But I know, like I said, I know he's an inspiration to many people around the world. And I do know he's done a lot for the game of basketball, even after his retirement. So just a sad day for the sports world, and really you can say the whole world, really, but particularly the sports world, and people will understand that.
Yeah, we're not a basketball podcast, and
one
thing I really try to do on here is not pretend I know stuff. I certainly don't have enough breadth of knowledge of the history of the NBA to speak on Kobe's legacy or anything, so
agreed. Yeah,
that's all we'll really say. He meant a lot to a lot of people. It was honestly one of the most, I think, surreal days in sports media in a while, because while this happened right as the Pro Bowl was starting, and you had ESPN covering the Pro Bowl while all these other news outlets were covering this tragic helicopter crash. And it was just extremely surreal and kind of weird to watch. It was like stumbling through kind of a fog, and not everyone in Orlando was aware Kobe was dead until about halfway through the second, when they had a moment of silence. A lot of the players found out as questions were being asked of them. It was just a really weird kind of game and weird vibe. And of course, Joe Tessitore and Berger McFarlane were clearly very touched by it. They nearly broke down crying several times throughout the broadcast, and were given really an impossible task. I work at a radio station here, and outside of doing my responsibilities and like playing the commercials and everything, I wasn't able to focus on the game, and it's a credit to these we carry Westwood One games. It's a credit to the team, the Westwood One team. I don't know the play-by-play's name, but I know Maurice Jones-Drew was the color guy. So a shout-out to them, because throughout the entire broadcast, they never really brought it up. They were very professional. They just kind of focused on the game. And it seemed like it was a very different reaction from Booger and Tessitore than it was from these guys. You never really heard about Kobe's death until halftime. So it was really just a entirely surreal sports day, one of the saddest sports days we've had in a while. I can't really remember.
It's been a long time.
A time I really can't remember a time like this, to be quite honest with you. And it's really interesting.
I'm trying to remember.
To see how – I think Twitter magnifies these things, because everyone – and me and Chris are as guilty of this as anyone, but feels like they have to go on and say something kind of nice about Kobe. And it's just this all this outpouring of emotion that just amplifies – I think, and everyone, of course, for the news is glued to their Twitter feeds, and you see all this different stuff, and it just amplifies the emotions. It's a really, I mean, this isn't a societal issues podcast, but I mean, we could certainly, well, it certainly popped into my mind, like it.
It's a different occasion.
I'm not sure Twitter is helpful and social media is helpful in times like these. Maybe it is because people need to grieve and they can see they're grieving together. But I also think it kind of amplifies the intensity of the moment and makes you feel it more than you would if you just saw a news update and then moved on with your day. Because, Chris, you can attest, you know, you were sitting there and watching Twitter all day.
Well, yeah, I was watching it just to see what was going on, because it was about 3 o'clock and nobody really knew for 100% sure at that time. It was just reports, so I was like, well, I'll just wait and see what happened. And then I ended up on Twitter for a little while. It was probably a good hour or two. I don't know. It's just hard to put it how I would say I was watching it, but I was going to go back to what you were saying earlier about those play-by-play callers only mentioning it one time, and that's kind of what you have to do if you're trying to avoid the conversation. Just bring it up because you have to and then be done with it. But like Booger McFarland and Joe Tessitore, they're a little different because they're ESPN. ESPN, you kind of – it's two totally different platforms. ESPN is probably forcing them to talk about it. They may not be. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my guess. It was pretty bad timing to find out. At least those people that are having to do their jobs at the same time as this is happening. There's no really other way to put it. Just an all around sad day for the world. I would argue just a sad day for the country. I can't just say sports world, because there's people that were inspired by Kobe Bryant, the type of father he was and the type of man he was. So I can't really just say sports world and feel justified saying it. So, but that's really all I've got for that. I can't, like you said, I can't comment on his career or any of that as a best basketball player, just because I didn't even really watch basketball, like I said, until his last 2 years probably. So I'm not going to comment on that just because I don't know enough.
Yeah, I do think it is really interesting to see how society reacts to these kind of tragedies and how social media is affects those. But all that aside, it's an incredibly sad day, and hope nothing but the best for Kobe Bryant's wife and three surviving daughters. I hope they are able to overcome it. I can't personally imagine losing my dad. So,
I feel worse for his family and his wife more than, it's a very tragic day to lose not only your husband, but you lose your husband and your daughter in the same day. Goodness, I couldn't imagine that, you know?
Yeah, so obviously, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. Probably won't touch on it again on this show. Not really a basketball show, but
it's just one of the rare circumstances that you have to, you know?
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of a weird day, and we'll move on and kind of take a somber approach to the rest of our topics today. I felt it was necessary to get out a podcast about specifically Eli Manning's retirement, which we'll get here in a second. And it just ended up falling on a weird day. And if I would have waited till tomorrow, would have been really no point in it, because at that point, I think the Eli news is a little bit stale. So let's talk about it, Chris. Eli Manning retires. Let me first ask you this. What is Eli Manning's legacy?
One thing only. It was this two Super Bowl wins versus Tom Brady. The main one was his Super Bowl win versus Tom Brady. And it's hard. I feel odd saying this, but his career and the whole situation, I don't know if you want to talk about later on if he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but I feel like his career is a little overrated. I don't know where to put him, because it's really tough to talk about it, because I feel like he got lucky in at least one of his Super Bowls. I mean, and you could argue both of them, but I feel like that was a luck win, and I don't know. It's hard to place it. What do you think about it? It's tough for me to describe what I think about his career in general, as far as what his top moment is.
I think a lot of people will argue it. It's the David Tyree catch, which even then is kind of a fluke play that you couldn't really ever recreate. That was Eli escaping, yes, but then just kind of throwing up a prayer that his receiver did most of the work to get. Eli Manning to me, and I really, to be fair, only watched the second half of his career. I
agree.
The first Super Bowl I remember watching is, well, actually the first football game I remember watching was that 2011 NFC Championship, when he just got blown up by the 49ers. And he got hit 20 different times and just took one of the biggest beatings I've ever seen a quarterback take. And that was one of the first football games I ever watched. And I thought, man, why do people watch this? This is just brutal. And I didn't quite fully understand it. I started my football fandom, of course, about a year and a half later in 2013. But Eli was tough. You got to give him that. He took a lot of hits. But to me, Eli Manning was just an incredibly average quarterback. And I don't want that to come off as an insult, because it's not. Would I vote for him in the Hall of Fame first ballot? Absolutely not. I don't think he was that type of a quarterback, but he was a league average quarterback, like a top 15 quarterback for most of his career until the last two or, well, let's be honest, the last 4 or 5 years when his arm really fell off. But before that, he was always a league average quarterback. He never made an all-pro team. He was probably never the best quarterback in the NFL. But
no, never.
But he got the job done, and I think there is something to be said for that, and I think that's why he will get into the Hall of Fame, even though I wouldn't necessarily put him there.
There's no chance. I don't think there's any chance he's first ballot. Even I know I wouldn't put him in there. I probably wouldn't even put him in there.
See,
I personally wouldn't put him in there just because what you said about him being average is very, very true. And I think the last 4 or 5 years has hurt his legacy a lot.
See, I think that what determines a lot of this for football writers who vote for the Hall of Fame, though, is storylines and big stories. And Eli has one of the most storybook careers ever, because it is crazy to think about, but without Eli Manning, the Patriots in the 2020, we're in the 21st century, right?
Yes.
The Patriots in the 21st century have never lost a Super Bowl if Eli Manning doesn't exist.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's tough.
I agree with you, Chris. I wouldn't put him in as a first ballot Hall of Famer either, but I think that matters to the people who vote on this stuff is the fact that Patriots, Tom Brady would have 8 rings and be 8-0 in Super Bowls if Eli Manning didn't exist.
Yeah, and I understand that aspect of it as far as – and that's really one of the reasons why – we're talking, or everybody's talking about it, his career the way they are. It's because of that one catch. Because had he not won that Super Bowl, I think we would be talking about him a little differently now, and we'd be saying, well, there's no chance he gets into the Hall of Fame. It's just like, really, when I hear people talk about, will, for example, one day Matt Ryan, once he, if he were to retire today, would he be a Hall of Fame quarterback, period? I would say no. I mean, you got to win a Super Bowl, although the difference is Eli has won a Super Bowl, but I just – the fact that it was pretty lucky, I think that's just hard for me to put him in. And then, like I said, the bigger thing for me is his last 5 years. He's only made the playoffs one time in the last 5 years. And I think to be a Hall of Fame player, you have to make the playoffs more than that, more consistently than that. And I mean, they probably will eventually put him in the Hall of Fame. And maybe at that point, maybe it would be a different argument. But today, I would say no. So I don't know if he's really – said this for sure or not, but do you think he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I want to emphasize the word think.
I mean, do you think they'll put him in for whatever reason?
Yes, I think he'll get in first ballot. I don't think it'll be a question. Do I agree with it? Absolutely not. I don't see how either, but these baseball – not, pardon me, these football writers are driven by storylines. And I truly believe they're going to look at it and say, Eli beat the best team of the past 4 decades in the Patriots twice. And one of those teams was arguably the greatest football team of all time.
Right. Well, so, they were 16-0.
Yeah, so 18-0.
Well, 18-0 count playoffs.
Yeah, so it was just – I just feel like
The storyline's what's going to get him in.
Yeah, the storyline's what's going to get him in.
And
yeah.
I mean, that's a fair – I'm not saying that you're wrong that they won't, because it's likely that they probably will. But at the same time – I say all this, but at the same time, I do have that mindset of how he got there, how he got to that point, and how he got to that point in the game. He didn't – you can't get lucky every game. He had good games at that point, but – goodness gracious. First ballot. I guess we'll find out sooner or later.
Yeah. Yeah. That is all I really had to talk about with Eli. It is interesting that you bring up Matt Ryan, and because I heard a really interesting podcast episode earlier this week talking about current players who will make the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of these guys thought Matt Ryan would at some point make the Hall of Fame. And I guess I'll say why I think they think that is because I do think there are points in his career, like 2 or 3 years, where you can point to Matt Ryan and say he was the best quarterback in football, hands down. And I feel like even though he had – even because – and I get that he has one of the greatest Hall of Fame wide receivers of all time playing with him, but I feel like he's got some passing records, Chris. I believe he's up there among the top leaders in passing yardage and things like
that. Yes.
And I think he will get in. I think a Super Bowl would cement it, which obviously
– I agree.
Not too late for that to happen, I don't think. I think the Falcons are a really interesting team to see this offseason. I think they desperately need to add defensive pieces, but I think if they can keep the offense kind of rolling a little bit, they could be a contender next year if they added enough defensive pieces. Which they'll have a chance to do, since this free agent class is kind of loaded with the secondary and the front seven type players.
But the problem is they don't have a lot of money.
Oh, I was unaware of it. I haven't looked at cap situations yet, but maybe they'll have a good draft. Who knows? But
that's what's going to matter. And as far as what you're talking about, I could also defend. You're talking about having the Hall of Fame Julio Jones. Julio is also in and out of games because of injuries, because of his ankle injuries or whatever it may be. So it's not like Matt Ryan's had Julio for 9 straight years, every single game or even every other game. So I could defend Matt Ryan with that at that point. But my problem is I think getting a Hall of Fame that you at least need to win a Super Bowl. At least one, and especially if you're going to be first ballot. Maybe he gets in down the line, but I don't think it's first or second ballot. I think it's more like a fourth or fifth year of eligibility, just because. And then, like we said, it's kind of too early to tell because he's got another 4 or 5 years, at least in his career, I feel like. I think he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that plays until he's 40 or so. Like Drew Brees, and I don't think he's going to pull 45 to like Tom Brady, but
yeah, I think he's got another 4 or 5 years. I certainly don't think it's crazy to say the Atlanta Falcons could win a Super Bowl in the next 4 to 5 years.
I agree with you there. I mean, they have a lot of talent on offense, but that defense has got to have some work, and I don't know if it'll be – I think eventually they'll – whether it be this year or next year, and Quinn. So we'll see what happens. It's just too early to tell.
Yep. Let's talk a little bit about – let's just touch on some stats from the Pro Bowl. I mean, we're here. We might as well.
Did you want to hit on Jay Gruden real quick too?
Oh, yeah. Jay Gruden becomes the offensive coordinator of the Jaguars. This, to me, screams Doug Marrone's going to get – fired after about week 5, and Jay Gruden's going to be the next head coach.
You really think? Is that what you really think?
Yeah.
Like, I Jay Gruden is going to be a head coach.
Yeah, I think it's
that fast.
He got the offense was never bad in Washington.
Yeah.
And he's an offensive coach. Like, even with Case Keenum earlier this year, they had stretches where they looked okay and good enough. And he was responsible for some of the Kirk Cousins years. He had some good offenses with other kind of stopgap guys. Like, I don't know. What's the worst that can happen? I think he's good at developing quarterbacks. He developed Kirk Cousins enough, and I just feel like they're gonna give him a shot because he's an experienced head coach, and I just feel like they're gonna give him a shot.
Look, I'll say this: he had some bad luck with injuries in Washington, some really bad luck with injuries, and what he was able to do with the guys he had was, I would say, very good, considering. Well, I won't say very good, but I'll say at least average. He wasn't a bad head coach. It was more of the injuries every year, year in and year out. Somebody got injured, or four or five players got injured. And you can only overcome so much of that. So, I mean, it's just bad luck as far as that goes.
The Pro Bowl happened today, like I said before.
Yes,
the
it did.
Tragic news. This was going to be the main point of the show. I thought it would be a funny bit to kind of give way in-depth analysis of Pro Bowl. And I still think it is a funny bit. It might return next year, but today...
This isn't the year for it, I guess.
Yeah, this...
It wasn't meant to be.
No, it's just in the year for it. So... the AFC wins against the AFC 38-33, and I mean, God, what a joke of a game. There was the Fletcher, the image that stands out to me is that Fletcher Cox touchdown where Courtland Sutton's running right next to him and doesn't even make an attempt to tackle him, and he just runs into the end zone.
That was probably the best play of the game. So. And that's pretty bad if that's the best play of the game.
Yeah. The AFC quarterbacks had good days. Lamar had a great day throwing the ball. Mark Andrews was by far, I think, the offensive MVP. He had 9 catches for 73 yards and a touchdown. Not a lot of running in the Pro Bowl, unsurprisingly. As far as the NFC side goes, Kirk Cousins played most of the game, to be honest with you. They put Russell Wilson and Drew Brees in for about 7 snaps for Drew, 11 for Russ. Drew Brees, I mean, this is kind of an interesting thing. Some reports have surfaced recently that he's considering what he's going to do next. And one of the options could be retirement. I personally didn't really see that coming. What about you, Chris?
No, I didn't really see that coming either. But I've heard a little bit of rumors about that as well. I don't think he retires. I think this, but I don't know that he returns to New Orleans. New Orleans is in a unique position because they've got Teddy Bridgewater, they've got Taysom Hill. I think if I were in their shoes, I would probably try to bring back Drew Brees if any way possible. But I don't know what's going to end up happening. He's got options, that's for sure. If he wants to come back, he'll come. They're not going to tell him no. your phone distracting you. Your phone's really distracting you right now.
Yeah.
This is bad podcasting.
This is bad podcasting.
This is like super bad podcasting.
Yep. Yeah, it really inexcusable. Really inexcusable.
You kept it out for a minute straight. oh my gosh.
Yeah, we'll cut that out, maybe. I think Drew Brees is going to return. That's kind of what I get.
Drew Brees is going to return. I agree with you there.
Let's close out because obviously I'm getting tired. I'm getting tired. Beginning thoughts on as we approach Super Bowl week, it's going to be a week for me at least, filled with tape watching and all kinds of different things. And what are your first, without giving me any real analysis or picks or anything,
right?
What are just your beginning thoughts on what you're going to start saying about the Super Bowl? Questions you're asking yourself right now going into Super Bowl week.
Okay, I'll give two questions that I'm asking myself. One is, will this moment be too big for Jimmy Garoppolo? So far it hasn't been, but we're in the biggest moment. And then secondly is, it's really, my questions are really about the 49ers. And then my second question would be, the reason that I'm hesitating or I'm taking a moment is because I don't want to say too much. But I guess my second question would be, how are these 49ers defensive backs and quarterbacks going to play versus the Chiefs wide receivers? That's going to be fun to watch. I want to see that.
Yeah. I think the quarterback matchup's kind of interesting to look at as well. My question is can the Chiefs linebackers keep up with this Niners running game, which of course is really good. I'm going to have to do some really close study on the Chiefs linebackers. And see what I think about them, because I think that's a major part of this game. I would also kind of, my other question as it pertains to the 49ers is, how does Jimmy G kind of react to this game? Because not only is this Patrick Mahomes' first kind of big game, this is Jimmy G's first Super Bowl starting. I wonder how Jimmy G kind of handles the week in general, if that's an advantage for the 49ers, just because he's been there so many times before as the Patriots backup. I'll be interested to see kind of how his routine works.
Yeah, and then I'll add this to wrap up that segment. My third question for myself is, will the trend of the Chiefs starting slow continue? In their last two games, they have went down pretty big. The Houston game, they went down 24-0. And in the Tennessee game, they went down, 14-7, early, like in the first quarter. Or it was 17-7. It might have been 17-7, but they started really slow. Will that trend continue? Because I don't think it can. I think they have to start at a good pace and finish the game.
Yeah. Finally,
I think we did pretty well. I think we did pretty well without giving too much information.
Yeah, it was good. Don't know how so Super Bowl week is always interesting. It's going to be really kind of fluctuating podcast-wise. I don't know all my guests yet. I think, Chris, if you're available, can you stay awake until potentially 11 Eastern?
What day?
At Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I got permission actually from my boss to record at the fancy radio recording booth. So I'll probably give you a number to call into, Chris, and we'll do it over phone. But Chris will join me back here about a week from now, as soon as all the coverage on the radio side of things wraps up for the Pro Bowl. The Super Bowl. And we will recap it. Going backwards a bit, Wednesday or Thursday is probably the day the Super Bowl preview will be out, most likely Thursday. And then on – I would say on – sorry, I'm spacing out today. This is awful podcasting by me. The Super Bowl storyline show that I always like to do will be Tuesday night with Jonders. So podcast Tuesday, podcast Thursday, podcast Sunday night. And then I'm going to disappear from Twitter, from podcasting,
everywhere.
From everywhere for about 2 weeks until the first news of the new year starts breaking out. I'll let draft Twitter take you away, but everyone knows we're not a big draft podcast or anything like that. So really until the combine starts and the owners meetings start kicking back up again, that third week in February, I probably won't have anything to talk about. So we will be off, I'm going to say tentatively, from the Monday after the Super Bowl. So that's the 3rd until the 17th, maybe even the 24th. Just depends on if there's any crazy news that goes down. We will – the first episode back will not be scheduled in any way, shape, or form. It'll just be when the first crazy bit of off-season news happens, like a trade or something. So
– he's basically saying expect a quiet February after the Super Bowl.
Expect a quiet February, a busy March, semi-busy April, and then of course a quieter summer. So that is kind of how the off season goes, but it is a jam-packed and busy week starting now. Hope you guys are doing okay. Thank you for listening. Tell someone you love that you love them. Remember to keep your family close to you, and well, I love you guys. So thank you for joining us, and we will see you guys later. Love y'all. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.